Expectation that tonight you are going to do wonderful things in all of our lives. Lord, the word of God says, better is one day in the house of the Lord than 1,000 days elsewhere. And Lord, I thank you that when we leave this place tonight, we will be able to testify just like the psalmist does. Better is one day in the house of God than sitting in front of the TV or reading a good book or even spending time with friends. Because being in the house of God is being in the hands of the Creator of the universe, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Great I Am. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. For we realize one thing, there is a very good reason why Jesus Christ told the disciples, wait for the Holy Spirit to come, wait for the power of God to fall. Holy Spirit, we need you. Nobody can ever get the revelation of who Jesus really is unless they have experienced your touch and your power. So Spirit of the living God, welcome in our midst tonight. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Right, guys. As most of you are probably aware, we started a series where we are discussing how the enemy works and influences through music. Now let's quickly see. Just raise your hands for me if you love music. All right. I don't think there is anybody that is in this room tonight that can say to me, you know what, Rion, I couldn't care less. I don't like music. All of you have listened to music this week. All of you have had some kind of an experience through music this week. And we are only on the Wednesday. I believe most of you find it very difficult to drive in your cars without having music as a companion. We all love music, and there is nothing wrong with that. You see, the thing is, we are created in the image of God. We are created like He is. And we know that God loves music. How can I say that? Easy. Scripture tells us that there is music 24 hours in the heavens. There is praise and worship 24 hours in the heavens. If God did not like music, He's living in the wrong place right now. Hello? So the thing is, music plays a big role in God's life. So why shouldn't music play a big role in your and my life? Now you see, that's the thing. There is no problem with music in your life. But one has to understand that music is not just music, You really do get different types of music. And then the other thing, and I'm going to quickly recap on some of the things that we've already discussed, just to set the foundation for what we're going to speak about tonight. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 11 to 12. The prophet Isaiah is speaking, and he says the following concerning Lucifer. He says, your pomp has been brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments. The maggot is spread under you, and the worms cover you. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Now this passage refers to Lucifer as he fell out of the heavens and he landed down here on earth. Now the important thing that you need to take heed of and take note of is the fact that the prophet says that he has stringed instruments. And the last time Mark was here and I asked Mark, what does stringed instruments say to you?
Orchestra.
Right, this time he doesn't just start with one little thing and two little things. He somehow goes straight for it and says, that sounds to him like an orchestra. I would say under stringed instruments, you could classify things like the harp, the cello, the violin, that big bass violin. What do you call that? The double bass. Guitars. Bass guitars, electrical guitars. I know that they didn't have electrics back then, but don't you think for one second he doesn't know how to play them, because he does. He's an expert in all things stringy. So we get from that the fact that when Lucifer was thrown out of heaven, he was an obvious master of all kinds of stringed instruments. And I want you to take note that it says instruments, plural. So there is no good reason to think that the only thing that he could play was the banjo. Hello? He can play them all. Then the second one that we looked at comes from the book of Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 13 that says, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, emerald, and gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and of your pipes was prepared for you on the day that you were created. Once again, this refers to Lucifer. The way that you know that this has to refer to Lucifer is because of that little passage that says, you were in Eden, the garden of God. And we know that there were three people in Eden, the garden of God. There was Adam, and Adam is dead. There is Eve, and Eve is dead. And then there was another person. What was that person called? He was called Satan. He was the serpent who was also Lucifer, right? And he says there, you were in Eden, the garden of God. And then he speaks about all the stones that covered him. And then he says, the workmanship of your timbrels and of your pipes was prepared in or for you on the day that you were created. Your timbrels and your pipes. Now the word timbrel refers to percussion instruments. And percussion instruments would include drums. They would include cymbals, and they would include, what are these things that you, tambourines, and all sorts of things like that. So we know that Lucifer has access to those, and then the last one that he speaks of, your timbrels and your pipes. Any Scotsmen here tonight? Any Scottish people? Nobody? There is one. What does the pipe say to you? Bagpipes. All right, now I can't prove to you that they had bagpipes in heaven, but it refers to the type of instruments that use air, all right, including bagpipes, flutes, and all sorts of other stuff. I don't know what you call the rest of it. Now, let's quickly just recap. We know from Scripture that Lucifer has in his arsenal guitars, cellos, bass guitars, violins, cellos, harps, drums, cymbals, and flutes, etc., etc., etc. When he said just now, that sounds like a whole orchestra. Now, I want you to understand that Lucifer can make a whole orchestra play if he wants to. And you see, the thing is, what you have to understand about Lucifer is he doesn't need 100 men and women to make up an orchestra. He himself is the orchestra. Because you see, all of these things are part of his makeup. He was created with them as part of who he is. Because when Lucifer was still in the heavens, it is widely believed that he was in charge of music. Now, when Lucifer was still in the heavens, he would use his gifting to glorify God, which is wonderful. But you see, the thing is, you've got to understand, he's not in the heavens anymore. And I don't know, but have you figured out by now that Lucifer has an issue with God? Come on. Okay, let's not refer to him as Lucifer anymore, because he's not called Lucifer now. What is he called now? He's called Satan, or the devil, or the destroyer. Now, the thing is, if you just read your Bible a couple of times, you'll quickly understand that he's got no more respect for God. He's got no love for God. In fact, everything that he does is to bring hurt and pain and destruction to God. And the easiest way to do that is through God's children. How many of you know that when somebody picks on your children, they're picking on you? Come on, there's some mommies here, you've gone there and you've given some people real stick because of what they did to your son or your daughter. Hello? Yeah. The best way to get the average adult upset is to go and mess with their children. So guess what Satan is doing right now? He's messing with God's children. And the easiest way, or one of the easiest ways for him to mess with God's children, is by doing what he does best. And that is to make music. So you see, the thing is, I'm going to repeat because I don't want you to misunderstand me. There is no way that we can say that all music is bad or all music is evil, because music was created and ordained by God. So music is godly. But not all music is godly, because Satan can also make music. And you see, the thing is, he did not lose any of his abilities. He still has it, and he still has it and uses it to bring destruction. Now, I want to give you again the quote that Jimi Hendrix made. No, before we go there, we did those slides that gave you an idea of how music speaks to us. We're going to just do two for tonight, just to give you an idea once again. Do the first one for us quickly. All right, young lady, what did that music say to you?
Happiness.
Happiness. Young lady, what did that music say to you? A warm, happy feeling. How's that? That's a lucky way of describing it. You see, the thing is, you know, I reckon if you take somebody that is really morbidly depressed and you let them listen to that song for half an hour, they might start feeling a lot better. Hello? Because that song has got something enthusiastic, uplifting, enjoyable about it. All right? It just speaks to your spirit. Now, listen here. This is what I want you to understand. You weren't necessarily feeling excitable. You weren't necessarily feeling happy. But the moment that song began to play, it did something to you. It spoke to you in a way that it created that emotion in you. Okay. We're going to do one last one. Do the fifth one for us. Yo. Let's quickly check. What did that song say to you? It makes you feel anxious. Now the thing is, if you ever saw the movie Jaws, every time that theme starts playing, you start digging into the cushion. Or if you were lucky enough to go there with your girlfriend, you start mangling her hand. Is that right? Because you just know, your spirit just knows big problems. Big stress. You don't actually know exactly what's going to happen, but every muscle inside of you starts going tense and your stomach starts turning. All right, now you see, the thing is, once again, you had no reason to feel tense, you had no reason to feel stressed, but when that music begins to play, it's like, ooh, something's not right. So that music was speaking to you. Now, that's the point that I'm trying to make. Is that music has an ability to speak to us. Music has an ability to influence us and influence the way that we feel. Now, if music alone, without Satan, can do that to us, if it has the ability to speak to us and, in a sense, affect the way that we feel, the emotions that we feel, affect our thinking, then how much more is music going to have a power over us when Satan is woven into the music that we listen to? I said to you the first night that a demon is like an amplifier. When you cast a demon of rage out of a person, the person had rage, but possibly because they never kept their spirit in check and they kept losing their temper, they allow that spirit of rage to come closer and closer and closer, and eventually he goes and sits on them and he begins to pull the strings in that area of their life. In other words, in the area of rage, it is now no longer a fleshly rage, it has become a demonic rage, and the demon amplifies the rage that is already in the person. So in other words, if we could measure rage, let's say rage was in a scale from 1 to 10, before the spirit came in, the person was registering a 4. From the moment the spirit comes in, you register a 10. So the spirit has magnified it exponentially until you are full of rage. Okay. Now, it's exactly the same with music. Any music, all music will do something to us. Our spirit was created that way. Because music has the power to minister to you. But you see, there is not just good music that will minister to you in a good way. There is also bad music that will minister to you in a bad way. And now if there is some evil spirit woven into that music, then he amplifies the effect that that music has on your life. And then you are just so much more susceptible to what the enemy wants to do. Now, let's quickly put Jimi Hendrix on the screen there. As you can see there, Jimi Hendrix was called the Voodoo Child. He lived from 1942 to 1970. And here's an interesting quote. Jimi Hendrix made the following statement. He said, atmospheres are going to come through music because music is a spiritual thing on its own. You can hypnotize people with music, and when you get people at their weakest point, you can preach into their subconscious whatever you want to say. Atmospheres are going to come through music. Now, when we listen to those two songs, an atmosphere was created in this church. When Katrina and the Waves played their song, I'm Walking on Sunshine, the atmosphere was happiness, excitement. When the Jaws song started playing, the atmosphere was tension. Can you see what he's saying is 100% correct? He knew how to read his audience. And then he says, atmospheres are going to come through music because music is a spiritual thing. Now you see, the thing is, Jimmy had a wonderfully enlightened moment when he said that, because it is biblical. Music is a spiritual thing because music originated from God, and God is spirit. Hello? And so the thing is, all music will in some way connect with you on a spiritual level. That is why music can affect the way that you feel and affect the way that you think. But the thing is, you have to understand that there is not just the good side of the spiritual realm. God is not the only spirit out there. God's angels are not the only spirits out there. There is a whole other side as well. There is the kingdom of darkness. And you see, the thing is, where some music will bring light into your life, other music will definitely bring darkness into your life. The important thing that I want you to understand what he says here is, he says, when you get people at their weakest point, you can preach into their subconscious whatever you want to say. How does he know this stuff? Well, how many times did Jimi Hendrix walk out on a stage with hundreds of thousands of fans screaming their heads off, freaking out, going ballistic, and when he used to twang that guitar and he see the people just almost go into a state of trance or whatever the case might, he began to see the powerful effect that his music had on his followers. When he was going away at that guitar, and those little fingers were moving so fast you couldn't even see them, and those ladies were all throwing their bras on there, and everybody was doing stuff that they probably, under normal circumstances, would not do, he began to notice something. His music could control the crowd. And then he says, in fact, he noticed that when he got them to a certain point, when he's built up and built up and built up the atmosphere, if he says to them, let's all do this, they would blindly follow whatever he said. Now you see, what he's really saying there is, he found that in the right circumstances, at the right time, he could basically hypnotize people through music. All right. Then we looked at a man by the name of Aleister Crowley. You will see him there on the screen. Aleister Crowley was widely referred to in the middle part of the century as the most wicked man on earth. He was very proud of the fact that he was called the most wicked man that ever lived. He's also widely believed to be the father of modern Satanism. Aleister Crowley grew up in a Christian home. His father was, in fact, a minister. His father was a priest. Crowley rejected God and he rejected morality. Ran away from home when he was fairly young and ended up with all sorts of satanic orders and stuff like that. He joined the Order of the Golden Dawn, which was an occultic organization where you tried to reach higher levels of consciousness through occult rituals, etc., etc. He fell out with them and he went off and he joined a bunch of Buddhists. After being with the Buddhists for quite a while, he went on a travel to Egypt. When he was in Egypt, his wife spoke to him and she said, listen, young man, I'm quite interested in the occult. I've never experienced it. Don't you want to do a ritual and just show me how these things work? For about 5 years at that stage, he had nothing to do with the occult. She kept on nagging, 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 and he eventually said, okay, I'll show you one ritual. He performed a ritual, and while he was performing this satanic, this occultic ritual, his wife suddenly fell into a deep trance. And a spirit began to speak through her. An entity began to speak through her. The entity introduced himself as Horus, the Egyptian god of war. You should see him there on the screen right now. He also said to Crowley that he has been sent to communicate to Crowley that Crowley has been chosen by Satan to be the Antichrist, to be the 666, and he will be known as the Beast, and that it is his sole mission to destroy Christianity. The Spirit then proceeded to say to him that for the next 3 days he should go and sit at a table with a pen and paper ready, and the Spirit would appear to him and give him instructions. The next day he sat at a table and waited on the Spirit, and suddenly the Spirit took possession of him and began to write through his hand. For 3 full days he sat in front of that desk and he wrote and he wrote, and that is the book that came from those 3 sessions. It is called the Book of the Law. The gist of the Book of the Law is as follows. It is, do what thou will, and do not be afraid that any God should judge you in anything that you do, and that shall be the whole of the law. In other words, the basis of the book that he wrote and of the religion that he started was, God doesn't matter. God doesn't exist. Do not fear God. Do whatever you want. If it gives you pleasure, go for it. Now the thing is, if you look at rock and roll and the music scene, it is not that difficult to see that a lot of the musicians actually adhere to that code of conduct. Because they all think, well, a lot of them think that they are above the law. And a lot of them think, well, if it's good for me, so what? Who cares what the other people think? But you see, the thing is, nobody is truly above the law. Because regardless of what Crowley thought and regardless of what he taught, God does care. And you see, the thing is, one day we will all stand before that white throne and our life will be flashed before us. And that's when a lot of people are going to be in serious trouble. Now, Aleister Crowley began to teach the religion that came out of this. And basically he had a jewel, he had a wonderful time, because here's what he taught. He taught that all men are really gods. We just don't know it. Inside of every person there is a God. And you have to find that God. And the only way to find that God is through occultic rituals, through seriously perverse sexual acts, including bestiality and incest. He propagated incest and bestiality. In other words, having sex with your mother, your father, your uncle, your aunt, your brother, your sister, and molesting the cat. Let's just put it that way. Then he also taught that as you go deeper into depravity, in other words, as you go deeper into every immoral act, your consciousness will be enlightened. That could also only be done by the help of serious drugs. The people in his order are all addicted to heroin, cocaine, dacha, I can't remember the rest. There's a whole bunch of them. Aleister Crowley was completely addicted to all of these things. I'm going to just read you this one more thing about Aleister Crowley. Crowley died a wasted heroin addict, given to rages and doubts. His last words were, "I am perplexed." After a lifetime of teaching his disciples how to be enlightened, how to become a god, his final words were, "I know nothing." So would you say that it worked for him? Absolutely not. Now, why have I told you all of this stuff? Because simply, this man, Aleister Crowley, by far is the greatest influence on modern music. He influenced so many people directly and indirectly that are today deeply involved in the music scene. And I want you to understand where this influence comes from. We have already looked at the following people, and I'm not going to go back there. The first one was Jimmy Page. He is with the band Led Zeppelin. We're going to see more of them now. The second one was the Beatles. The Beatles idolized him in as such as, if you look at the screen there, if you look at the left-hand side, right at the top, the second person, go up, that one there, that is Aleister Crowley. In an interview, they were asked, what was the purpose of this album cover? Why are they standing there with all of these people? And both John Lennon and, what's his name? Paul McCartney, no, not John Lennon, Paul McCartney and the other guy, Ringo Starr, both said that the reason why Aleister Crowley is there because he's a man that they idolize, a man that they admire, and somebody who profoundly influenced their lives. In fact, what they were saying is the father of modern Satanism is somebody that they look up to and that they idolize. In fact, Paul McCartney referred to him as one of our heroes. Makes you think, doesn't it? The next one that we looked at was Ozzy Osbourne. Now, we can all see that Ozzy Osbourne is weird. And if you read Aleister Crowley's life and lifestyle, you will understand why Ozzy is weird. Because Ozzy believes that Aleister Crowley is the man that truly introduced him to Satan and proved to him that Satan was real. I actually wanted to just mention about Aleister Crowley that he was married twice, and that both his wives ended up in lunatic asylums. He had five mistresses, five dedicated mistresses. All of them ended up committing suicide. He had hordes of concubines. All of them either committed suicide or ended up in mental institutions or died from drug overdoses. How's that for scary? Now you understand why he was the most wicked man in the world. The next group we looked at was Iron Maiden. Basically, Iron Maiden, the lead singer, Bruce Dickinson, is a student of Aleister Crowley. He worships Aleister Crowley. He produced a film about the work of Aleister Crowley and his influence in this world. That's just some of the album covers to show you that they are really in touch with their dark side. And then we looked at Marilyn Manson. For those of you that don't know who he is, I'm going to read you a quote from Marilyn Manson, Spin Magazine, August 1996. Manson said the following: "Hopefully I will be remembered as the person that brought an end to Christianity." Who else do we know that got the same command? Aleister Crowley was told, "You are the 666, you are the Antichrist, you will bring an end to Christianity." But then it's not funny, because Marilyn Manson is an ardent student of Aleister Crowley. In fact, the two men that he says had the most profound influence on his life is Aleister Crowley, the wickedest man in the world, and Anton LaVey, the man who planted the first church of Satan and who wrote the Satanic Bible. Now, with people like that that you look up to, how can you not end up looking like that one day? So, now we come to the next one that we're going to look at from start, and that is the rock group The Doors. Who of you know about The Doors? Who of you used to like The Doors? Yeah, I also used to like them. I used to like them until I read a couple of things about them. Let me teach you something about The Doors. Jim Morrison of The Doors died mysteriously on the 3rd of July, 1971. He was 27 years old. If you do a little bit of research on the internet, you will find that there is something called the 27 Club. It is a whole group of artists, all musicians, who all died at the age of 27. Apparently, there is no other occupation in the world that has so many people that all died at the age of 27. I'm going to teach you some more of that maybe in a later part of the series. But he died very young. The thing is, he was very heavily involved in the occult. Now, Morrison married his wife in a Wiccan ceremony where the two of them were standing in a pentagram. And instead of giving each other the right hand and giving each other a ring, they drank each other's blood. How's that for scary? Now then you know that there is something wrong. On the cover of The Doors album 13, you can see the group pictured standing around a bust of Aleister Crowley. Now I know that this is not a very good picture. It's the best one I could find. There is Jim Morrison in the middle. The other members of the group are around him. And then you see he's got his hands sitting like that. And then there is a bust. And that is the head of Aleister Crowley. All right. So in other words, Jim Morrison was deeply entrenched in all the teachings of the wickedest man in the world. Now, Ray Manzarek, which is one of the members of The Doors, made the following statement about Morrison. He said this: he was not a performer. He was not an entertainer. He was not a showman. He was a shaman. He was possessed. This coming from somebody that used to share the stage with him. Right, the next one we're going to look at is the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You will see them there. And John Frusciante, which is one of the people that is part of the band of the Peppers, is an avid follower of Crowley. They wrote a song called 666, I'm Around, Emptiness, and Look On. These are four songs that were all inspired by Aleister Crowley. At the 1992 Music Awards, they started their acceptance speech as followed. First of all, we would like to thank Satan. The next band we're going to look at is the Rolling Stones. You all know the Stones. You know the Stones and you know the mouth. There's the mouth. Left bottom. All right. The Stones composed the soundtrack for the movie, which was written in the 60s and filmed in the 60s, entitled Invocation of My Demon Brother. In other words, they performed and wrote the soundtrack for the movie in the 60s, all about Aleister Crowley. The Stones also wrote a song entitled Sympathy for the Devil, which is, until today, the official anthem for the Church of Satan. Mick Jagger made the following statement about Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan. He said that Anton LaVey has been an inspiration for them and has been crucial in many of their songs. One of their albums is actually called Their Satanic Majesty's Request. The next one we're going to look at is the Eagles. The Eagles wrote one of the most popular rock songs of all time entitled Hotel California. You all know the song Hotel California. What most people don't realize about the song is that the song really refers to the Church of Satan, which is an old converted hotel on California Street. On their album cover, Anton LaVey, the founder of the Satanic Church, is pictured looking down on the hotel itself. They also sing a song entitled Have a Good Day in Hell. They might have one. I trust you will not. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You see, my friend, the Bible clearly warns us that we have to be wary. Now, that does not mean that you must be paranoid and believe that there is problems around every bush. But you see, the thing is, when you start looking at the music industry and you just do a little bit of research, you quickly realize that it can be a death trap if you are not wary. Because Satan, having the power to literally do magic with music, has intertwined himself with the music business. And you have to be careful. Because you see, the thing is, we saw earlier on that music will influence you whether you like it or not. Better get the good influences than the bad influences. You see, the devil has unfortunately destroyed many, many lives of many, many people through music. One of the things that's very plain for anybody to see is that when young people get involved with the wrong type of music, they are much more prone to being involved in witchcraft and Satanism than any other person. Especially if they start getting a fascination with heavy metal music or black metal music or some of the alternative bands, they begin to become dark, their personalities begin to change, they become irritable, and the one thing that happens with most of them is they become alienated from their families. Satan loves to work through division. You see, the thing is, the Bible says when there is unity, the Spirit of God is allowed to work. Now, what Satan wants to do is break up families. And the thing is, when a young person begins to listen to the wrong type of music, they instantly become alienated from their parents. And when they are alienated from their parents, they are vulnerable. When the roaring lion goes to attack a group, a herd of buffalo, does he go for the head bull or does he go for the young one? He goes for the young one. Why? Because the young one is slower. The young one doesn't have all the experience of being hunted. He doesn't know you're supposed to go right, he goes left. He doesn't know he's supposed to jump, he lies down. He makes mistakes. Now you see, it works that way in the animal kingdom, but it also works that way in the worldly system. When Satan attacks, it is easier for him to attack the adolescent, it is easier for him to attack the teenager than what it is to attack the parent. And so often he will put pressure on the teenager through peer pressure, through friends, and all of that type of stuff. And then they become alienated from their parents. Now you see, just like that little rooibok, that little impala that's standing off to the one side, that instantly attracts the lion's attention. So that young person, the more they fight with mom and dad, the more they become rebellious, the more they put their foot down and want it all their way, the more Satan begins to take note of them. So young person, if you are sitting here tonight, listen carefully. Listen carefully. The one thing that loves to run with rock music is rebellion. You know, a lot of the rock artists are rebels. I was reading on the bands called The Who and Led Zeppelin, who have been banned from many hotels in the United States because every time they go there, they trash the place and they destroy the place in utter rebellion against society. And you see, the thing is, these people propagate the same stuff. If you look at a lot of today's rap artists, man, they've got that whole gangster thing down to a T. And it's all about rebelling and putting your foot down and not letting anybody tell you where to this and that, and you tell them where to get off. And, you know, they are creating a whole new society where everybody's got that attitude, wat kyk jy, you know? People just want to fight. And that's rebellion. And I don't need to remind you that that's the number one reason why Lucifer got chucked out of the heavens. Now, Psalm 22 verse 3 says the following. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Now, basically what that scripture says, Psalm 22 verse 3 says, the Spirit of God inhabits the praises of His people. Do you understand it that way? How many of you have noticed when you come into a church where there is anointed worship, you begin to feel the Holy Spirit. You feel the presence of God. And you have to feel it. Because I can't explain it, but you begin to feel light. It begins to feel like the cares and the pressures of this world just begins to dissipate. There is a deep-seated peace that begins to flood your spirit. And I don't know, you feel uplifted. Why is that? Because the Spirit of the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. Now, listen to this, listen to this. The Bible proves to us that a spirit can inhabit music. Hello? If the Spirit of God can inhabit praise and worship, then He is a spirit inhabiting music. Now, in the same way, if the Holy Spirit can manage to inhabit music, then you have to understand evil spirits can also inhabit music. Now listen to some of the things that I use to explain what we feel when the Holy Spirit comes and fills the place through music. We feel peace. We feel joy. Upliftment. Give me something else that you feel. What do you feel?
Sometimes I feel convicted.
Okay, sometimes she feels convicted. Like God speaks to her about an area of her life. What else? What other emotions? What other feelings do you guys feel? Come on, somebody, help me out here. Joy, carefree, you know? She says she feels close to God. Close to the throne of God. Alright, now, that's when the Holy Spirit is there. What would you say, what would some of the things be that we would probably feel when an evil spirit is at work in music? Well, it would probably be pretty much the opposite of what you would feel when the Holy Spirit is there. So instead of peace, there will probably be turmoil, irritability, frustration, anger, rebellion. Hello? Now, how many of you have listened to music and then you instantly begin to feel all of that stuff come out of you? I'm going to play you one song. Do that number four quickly again. This is a song written by a blatantly satanic band, just hold it for me until I'm finished, called Slipknot. Now, I can't say much good about Slipknot, but I can say to you that there is a South African flavor to them, because I believe it was last year, there was an incident in a school in the West Rand where a young boy took a samurai sword and sliced off the neck of one of his fellow pupils, and then he actually stabbed two other pupils. When the police eventually caught up with him, and they questioned him as to why he did it, he had been listening to a song of this band for the last week, continuously over and over again. I can't remember what the song is called, but the lyrics is all about killing, taking a sword and slicing somebody's neck off. And so that was his reason for why he did it. Do that one for us quickly. What did your spirit feel when that played? Say, what did you say? Negative. Irritable. Frustrated. I don't know. Yeah, well, somebody here said they've already got a headache and they only heard the first chorus. Now, the thing is, I don't actually have a picture of Slipknot. Maybe next week I'll have one, but they are a blatantly satanic group. So, the spirit that is upon their music, remember, the Spirit of God inhabits the praises of His people. There is a spirit inhabiting that music. When it plays, that spirit is moving amongst the people listening to it. Don't you think for one second that that thing will not affect you. Now, let me explain something to you. We are not all susceptible at the same time to these things. Remember what Jimi Hendrix said, when you get somebody at their weakest point, then, boom. Now you see, the thing is, a young person can listen to this music, and for a while it might do something, but not that profound. But then he goes through a week where his girlfriend dumped him, he got zero for one of his tasks, him and his dad had a big fight, and now he's feeling down, he's feeling low, and he begins to listen to this stuff. He's at a weak point, and that thing will not let him go. It keeps hammering at him, keeps hammering at him. Take your life. Why are you living? Nobody loves you. Nobody cares for you. That is the spirit that goes out with a lot of music. Or he says to him, listen, yeah, you know, just pack your bags and tell your father where to get off and just, there you go. What, you don't need him. Go and live your own life. And maybe 20 years from now, he's going to realize what a big mistake he made. But by then it's too late, because most of his adult life is down the tubes. Right. So, I want you to understand that if the Holy Spirit can inhabit music, evil spirits can also inhabit music. It is spirit and music, and they go together. Now I want to say a little something about the premature death of rock stars. Let me see how much time I have left. Oh, I've got some time left. A case study was done analyzing the deaths of 321 different rock stars between 1960 and 1997. And some very alarming statistics appeared. The average life expectancy of an American is 75.8 years of age, which I think is pretty much in line with what the Bible says, that you will see your children's children grow up. In other words, you will be a grandfather or a grandmother. Now, my parents are now close to their 70s. I think my father is about 67. So by the time my father is 75 years old, my son will be an extra 8 years, so my son will be 20. My father will have seen him grow up. So the average life expectancy of an American is 75.8 years old. Who wants to guess what the average life expectancy was of the 321 rock stars that died? Okay, I hear 40. You are not that far off. The average life expectancy of a rock star is 36.9 years of age. How many of you know that that is dying in the prime of your life? I mean, there's a lot of you here that are close to 36 years old, and you don't feel like it's time to go home, do you? Yeah, I'm sure you don't. Now, this is quite shocking, because if you look at it, if you do the math, you will find that the average age of a rock star is less than half of the rest of the population. Now, the thing is, if you go and do a study of the average age that plumbers pass away at, it'll probably be close to 75 years of age. If you go and check the average age that an engineer passes away at, it'll probably be 75 years of age. That's why it is called the average. But there is one occupation that is less than half of the national average. Now, you see, the thing is, whether you believe in this stuff or not, there is something sinister going on here. And the reason why they die so young is because they are, a lot of them are serving the thief who came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You see, the thing is, I want you to understand something. Satan loves to use them to condemn people's lives. But he is still a murderer, and he just can't help himself. Even though you are useful to him, even though he can get a lot out of you, he can't resist now and then just taking some of them, just because he can. The fact of the matter is, a staggering 60% of these deaths were due to unnatural causes. In other words, they did not die of some sickness. 60% of these people died because of suicide, murder, drugs, alcohol, and accidents. In other words, their lives were taken well before their prime. Proverbs 11 verse 19 says the following: "The truly righteous man attains life, but he who pursues evil will go to his death." Listen carefully. A righteous man will attain life. In other words, if I live my life in a righteousness with God, then it'll bring about a result of life, quality of life, and a good life expectancy. But it also says there that he who pursues evil goes to his death. Now, let's not pick on anybody specific. Let's, to a certain extent, generalize. But when you look at the lifestyle of a lot of the pop idols, when you look at the lifestyle of a lot of the big rock stars, how many of you know that you notice that a lot of them live a lifestyle that is absolutely, how can I put it, ungodly? The things that they say, the things that they do, their private lives, the things that they get up to. You know, they say any publicity is good publicity. Well, these oaks obviously believe that, because they're in the news constantly, because this one has done that on a plane, and that one's done this, and that one got kicked out of that state, and this one's not allowed to go back there, and etc., etc. It's just, there seems to be carnage in most of their lives. But that is also the pursuit of evil. And what does the Bible say? The Bible says, he who pursues evil will go to his death. Let's take an example from what we looked at. We looked at Jim Morrison from The Doors. All right. I said to you that he died at 27 years of age, and I said to you that he got married standing in a pentagram drinking his wife's blood. How many of you know that that is the pursuit of evil? Right? He was a practicing Satanist. Yes, some people will say to me, Rion, you are wrong, he was a Wiccan. There's no difference. They serve the same God. Hello? They serve the same God. Now, if he was pursuing evil, the Word of God says the result will be death. So what happened? God's Word was fulfilled. The enemy came and snatched him long before his time. Jeremiah 28 verse 16 says the following: "Therefore, this is what the Lord says, I am about to remove you from the face of this earth. This very year you are going to die because you have preached rebellion against the Lord." When you preach rebellion, you will die. Do you know what the result was? What the consequences were? If you lived 4,000 years ago in Israel, And as a young man, you rebelled against your father. Who can help me? What was the consequence? The word of God said, you will take a rebellious child, take him outside the gates of the city and stone him, and let it be an example to all the other young people. She says in some Arab countries, they still do it because it was part of the law of God. Now today, of course, you could never do that because everybody would get all excited and all stressed out. But you see, the thing is, God knows something that today we seem to not care about. A little bit of yeast infiltrates the dough and makes it all sour. Unfortunately, rock stars preach to people. What did Jimi Hendrix say? When you get them at their weakest point, you can preach to them whatever you want. Our young people will sit in church and they will walk out and listen to a sermon and they won't be able to tell you one little thing that was preached. But you ask them what's going on in the music scene and they'll give you facts like this. Can I tell you why? Because they idolize the people involved in the music scene. Oh, Britney Spears can't keep her marriage together, can't keep her children together, and she's got no control of her life. But she is worshipped by so many young people. And unfortunately, what they see in her life, they are probably going to repeat in their own. Hello? Scary. All right. Rock stars have an enormous influence over their masses of fans. And their lifestyles directly influence millions of people. David Bowie made the following statement. Rock has always been the devil's music. I believe that rock and roll is dangerous, and I feel that we are only heralding something even darker than ourselves. This is from one of the masters of rock, one of the front runners of the modern music scene. Listen to what he says. How does he know? Because he's seen it with his own two eyes. He's lived it. Rock has always been the devil's music. I believe that rock and roll is dangerous. I feel we are only heralding in something even darker than ourselves. In other words, we are only a front for something much, much darker. Once again, he had an enlightened moment. Here's a quote from Ozzy Osbourne. He said the following, I really wish I knew why I have done some of the things that I have done over the years. I don't know if I am a medium for some outside source, but whatever it is, I hope it's not what I think it is. Satan. Comes from the Hit Parade, February 1978. Now, the man that you see on the screen there, Ozzy Osbourne, that's one of his albums, Speak of the Devil. And he loves to speak of the devil. He says something to this effect. He says, man, I do some pretty strange and some pretty weird stuff. And, you know, sometimes I lose control and I don't know why I said what I said and I don't know why I did what I did. He's the man that bites the heads off chickens and stuff on stage. Now, he says, I wish I knew why I did these things. But whatever it is, no, he says, I don't know if I am in some way a medium for some outside source. In other words, what he's saying is, I don't know if there is something about my life that allows an outside power to work through me. If that is the case, then I really hope it's not who I think it is, and that Satan is the power working through me. Now, let's quickly check something. I want to show you a couple of his posters for what they refer to as Ozfest, which is like concerts that they hold. Now, there's the first one. He hopes Satan is not working through him. Who do you think is in that picture? If it's not Satan himself, it's his first or second lieutenant, at least. All right, go on, show us the next one. That is a picture of one of his band members and Lucifer, or that is possibly Baphomet, or whoever it might be, jumping through and landing on the stage, on the people listening, on the audience. Now, I think that thing is quite prophetic. Because I'm telling you right now, when you go to Ozfest, the type of stuff that you're going to hear there is riddled with satanic drivel. And that's exactly what happens while they are playing. This rubbish jumps off the stage and influences the people. Let's show us the next one. I know this one is not all that clear. Prozi, quickly run and just switch off the light in front here so that they can see it clearly. You will notice there that it is, once again, I can actually explain to you who that is. That will be Pan, right? It is the mythical figure Pan, who is known to be, in other religions, the god of music, all right? He's the one that walks with the pan flute. He's got the bottom half of a goat, and then he's got like a top half, like a man, and he's got horns. Now, Ozzy's rendition of him is, he's carrying a electric guitar, he's sitting on a bunch of skulls, in other words, people that he has already destroyed, and it is quite profound because it will depict to us how that thing has, through music, destroyed thousands of people's lives. He wonders whether Satan is working through him, but Satan features in just about everything that he does. I think there is one more. Once again, you see the goat's head. The goat's head features in all types of Satanism, all right? Ozzy Osbourne is fixated with the goat's head. He wonders whether Satan works through him. I think he does. Thank you, Prozi. All right. Now I'm going to finish off. We're going to do one song with a subliminal message. For years, there has been rumors and allegations flying left, right, and center that there are many different hidden messages in rock songs. Before we take a look at some of the songs, we're going to do one tonight. I first want to go back to some of the teachings of a man that you should know by now, Aleister Crowley. All right, now, the thing is, he wrote a book entitled Magic, Theory and Practice. And in this book, he taught on a concept that he explained as the law of reversal. Those who want fame, power, spell-casting abilities, demons at their beck and call, and that want to recognize the Godhead that is within them. Because remember, the whole purpose of doing all these rituals and having sex with a cat and being just plain stupid and ODing on LSD or whatever is to attain a higher consciousness so that you know what God is living in you. Now, he says this. If you want the fame, the power, if you want the ability to cast spells on people, you want demons at your beck and call, and you want to know what kind of a God you really are, as well as maybe know the past, the present, and the future, he encouraged his students to continuously and with intensity practice talking backwards, reverse speech, reverse walking, reverse thinking, and playing all their music backwards. In other words, what I'm trying to say to you is that a massive part of the doctrine that he taught that would bring enlightenment and bring you close to the satanic world is when things are done backwards. All right? Now, with him having such a powerful influence on the music industry, is it any wonder then that backmasking and backward messages also feature in music? You see, it is still one of the major doctrines of Satanism. It is also one of the very first things that a young person will learn when they enter into Satanism. They start writing backwards. They start writing messages to their friends all backwards. You find on a lot of young people's suitcases the word N-A-T-A-S, Natas. But you should read it backwards because it really says Satan. Hello? In many satanic churches, they will recite the Lord's Prayer. But they will start with Amen and say Nima, which is Amen backwards. They will then proceed to recite the whole prayer backwards. Now, backwards speaking, backwards walking, music playing backwards is an integral part of Satanism. A lot of people are very divided as to whether backmasking has any influence on the person that listens to it. In other words, if you listen to a song and it does have a hidden backwards message, will it affect you, yes or no? Now, the scientists have been trying to prove or disprove for years. If you go onto the internet, you will find one group that is 100% certain that it affects people, and they prove it convincingly. But then you will find the other group 100% proving convincingly that it does not. And you see, they are both wrong, and I'll tell you why. Because that's not how it works. The thing working through the music is spiritual. It is not supposed to influence your mind, it is supposed to influence your spirit. It is not supposed to control your mind, it is trying to control your spirit. Satan doesn't care about your mind. He wants your spirit. He wants your soul. And that is what these messages do. Like I said to you, a spirit can inhabit music. If they have the right type of backwards message in that song, it will invoke a demon that will begin to work and act like an amplifier working on your life. So does backmasking do something for Satan? Yes, it does. You see, the thing is, mankind says, I'm not worried, it doesn't influence me. I'm not interested in what you think. You should be interested in what does the devil think. Because he's the one that has the final say. Don't you think for one second, if something is spoken over that music that invokes an evil spirit, that it's going to say, the person doesn't believe in me. I'm not going to come. He doesn't care what you believe. He comes. And he is the destroyer. And he will try and immediately find a way to bring destruction into your life. Now let's take a look at one band and see the song and what it's all about. The band that I'm going to look at first is Led Zeppelin. They wrote a song entitled Stairway to Heaven. Stairway to Heaven is generally regarded as the most popular rock song in rock history. According to the Radio Trade magazine Monday Morning Replay, the song is still being played 4,203 times a year by 67 of the largest radio stations in the US, which works out to about twice a day on average. If you think that the song first aired in 1971, that tells you how big the song really is. Now, one of the lyrics that comes from the song, the forward version of the song, says, you know, sometimes words can have two meanings. Well, it's interesting that they might say that because their song does contain a hidden message. Now, the forward lyrics are on the screen there. I'm going to read it to you. If there is a bustle in your hedgerow, don't be alarmed now. It is just a spring clean for the May Queen. Yes. There are two paths you can go by. But in the long run, there is still time to change the road you are on. Eddie, play that part for us quickly.
If there's a bustle in your hedgerow, don't be alone there. It's just a sprinkling for a May Queen. Yes, there are two paths you can go by. But in the long run,
all right, did you all hear that clearly? Now, if you take that portion and you reverse it, in other words, if you flip it over and you play it backwards, then it actually says the following. Oh, here's to my sweet Satan, the one whose little path would make me sad, whose power is Satan. He'll give those with him 666. There was a little tool shed where he made us suffer, sad Satan. Now, Eddie, you're going to have to put the volume up so that they can hear. We're going to play it twice, all right? We're going to play it twice. Listen to the words and see if you can hear that. Okay, who of you caught some of those words? All right, I'm going to play it to you again. I want you to listen carefully to what they are saying. Eddie, play it again. Could you follow that? Do you get the message? All right. These lyrics are no coincidence. Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin has often remarked that some of the band's lyrics came to them through supernatural inspiration. Here is a quote from Robert Plant on how they wrote Stairway to Heaven. "I was just sitting there with Pagey in front of the fire at Headley Grange. Pagey had written the chords and played them to me. I was holding a paper and a pencil, and for some reason I was in a very bad mood. Then, all of a sudden, my hand was writing out these words. There is a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. I just sat there and looked at these words, and then I almost leapt out of my seat." He, that is Plant, often remarked that he could feel his pen being pushed by some higher power. It comes from Stephen Davis's book, Hammer of the Gods, when he interviewed this man on how they wrote the song. Now, I want you to listen carefully. What Robert Plant says is they were together, they were having a jamming session, and they'd already written the chords, the music was already there, and they were waiting for inspiration for the words that would go with it. And then he says, suddenly it was like something came upon him and began to take control of his hand. And when he looked down, these words were already written down. Now, let me explain something to you. This is not really, it's not a message that was recorded and inserted backwards. You actually have to, when the combination of words are played backwards, it'll give you that message. How difficult do you think would it be to come up with the right sequence of words that'll give that message? I think for a human being it is impossible. But demons are clever. And you see, speaking backwards is part of the satanic world. It is nothing for them to inspire somebody to write a song that will bring a satanic message. Now, I'm going to say just one or two little things. Here's to my sweet Satan, the one whose little path would make me sad, whose power is Satan. He'll give those with him 666. There was a little tool shed where he made us suffer, sad Satan. Now, the tool shed that they mention there is actually Aleister Crowley's home, which was called the tool shed, which was the first place that he did his satanic rituals, where he mutilated people and actually ritually sacrificed babies. Now, that is worked into the song. And Jimmy Page, the guitarist, Pagey, was the one that wrote the music. And he bought the tool shed. And that is all. I mean, you couldn't plan this for 100 years and get it to work out that way. Yet it all worked out perfectly according to Satan, because Satan is the author of that music. I'm not going to play you the rest now. Next week we'll look at some more songs that have backward messages. Who of you have learned something tonight? Amen. Amen. I'm going to repeat what I've said many times. I'm not trying to spook you and tell you that you must go and burn every CD that you've got. There are many, many, many CDs that you own that there's probably not any problem with. But what you do need to understand is that Satan works through music. And if he can, he will get to you. It is just to enlighten you and get you to understand that music is spiritual. All right, let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for a wonderful evening together. We thank you, Lord, that we could all learn together. And we thank you, Lord, that you are opening our eyes to new things. Lord, it is a very dangerous game that Satan is playing, influencing our young people and even our not so young people through the power of music. And so, Lord, we pray that you will keep us safe and protect us. Lord, there are probably some people that are sitting here right now worrying about the music that they have at home. I don't want them to worry, because we serve a God that is much greater than the evil one working through the music. My prayer is, Lord, that as they call on you, and they ask you to speak to them in their hearts, that you will clearly show them, that they will know that they know what they do need to get rid of. I thank you for this now. And Lord, we want to bring before you our young people. I know, Lord, that when you are young, you are sometimes stupid because of lack of experience. And Lord, I know that Satan would love to make them all rebellious. He would love to negatively influence their lives. Please protect them, Lord. And Father God, I pray that the artists that know that they have sold their soul to Satan for fame and fortune and whatever else they want, I pray, Lord, that in their lives you would cause your kingdom to come, that their lives will be changed and transformed, and that they will begin to realize how hollow a dream they are chasing. Protect our young people, Lord. Keep them safe and keep them from harm. Amen. Amen. Amen.